There's Blackberry Smoke and Run Away From It All right here on Iron Country. And they will be at the Coronado Theater coming up on Sunday night. And we want to welcome back to the Big Red in the Morning Show, Charlie Starr. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to have you back. And now with this latest release back in November of 2025, which is it's a greatest hits compilation, first of your catalog. And I want to know, does it make it harder for you to come up with a set list each night when you got so many songs to pick from?
It doesn't make it harder. I just kind of I close my eyes and throw a dart or 20 darts, and wherever they land, that's the set list. It literally is like, what did we do last time? Let's not do that again.
Well, I know there's staples that have to be in there each and every night, but that's the one thing I always like about going to a Blackberry Smoke show. You don't know what you're going to hear because it's never the same show.
Well, we've had repeat customers coming and going, and they don't want to be given the same. They don't want to be given the same menu. It's kind of like the rotating menu.
Exactly. And I got to ask you, Charlie. Your songs often feel personal and story driven. Where do most of your lyrics start from? Is it a line, a melody, or is it a real life moment?
Well, most of the time it would be real life moments. But I realized a long time ago I've only lived 51 years, so I had to start paying attention to other people's lives also. Because sometimes you can get something that's even more interesting out of something somebody else has gone through than what you might have even gone through yourself.
Now, how has your songwriting process changed from the early years of Blackberry Smoke's albums to now?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's changed all that much. I'm a guitar player at heart, and so it usually starts with when I pick up a guitar, play some little ditty, and that'll get the ball rolling. And it still happens that way to this day.
Now, is there a song in your catalog, Charlie, that fans interpret differently than you originally intended the song to be?
Oh, I don't know. I would have to ask them that.
Okay.
That's a good question, too. You're full of good questions today.
I'm working on it. Well, I do want to talk to you about the project that you're a part of, the Toy Factory Project. How did that whole thing come about for you?
That came about Paul T. Riddle, the original drummer for the Marshall Tucker Band. I met him working on another record years ago on an album for another artist. And he said to me then, that was probably 15 years ago, he said, I want to go back and revisit Toy Caldwell songs. And he said, I haven't played them in a long time, and I'd sort of like to revisit them and get some younger musicians, I guess you could say, like myself and Marcus King and O'Teal Burbridge and Josh Schilling. And he said, get you guys your take on them, the way that you play them or the way that you appreciate them, And so that's how it kind of started, as just sort of a little passion project for him. And it took off. And we all were like, whoa, this is incredible. It feels really great. And so now we recorded an album. Now we're playing shows. And who knows?
Wow. When do we think we'll see the album?
I don't know. That's another good question.
I'm three for three now.
Yeah.
So, Charlie, Southern rock has such a deep, great history. How do you balance honoring the tradition while still pushing your sound forward?
I just do what comes naturally. If it doesn't feel good to me, I don't do it. If it feels like it's coming from the right place, then I, by all means, I do it. And I think that just literally the way that we sound, Blackberry Smoke, when we play together, that really dictates, what it's going to be. And we're all from the southeastern United States, so it's just the way that it comes out. It's never planned. It's never, you can't overthink it. And if you did, it'd be a cartoon.
Exactly. I get that. Well, after all these years on the road, Charlie, what still excites you most about performing live?
The looks on people's faces and them singing the songs back, it never gets old. I've often wondered, like, why would the Stones continue to tour into their 80s? Playing rock and roll music and dancing and doing the things that that Mick Jagger does that might seem ridiculous, but he does it because of what people give back, that energy and that love that they give back. That's what keeps you coming back.
Now, Charlie, is there a particular city or venue where Blackberry Smoke always seems to have a special connection with the crowd?
The Coronado Theater in Rockford, Illinois.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of Blackberry Smoke shows there, and it's always a great crowd and always a great time.
I mean, I have favorites, but it just feels good every night. I know that sounds corny, but if it doesn't, we don't go back there.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Well, outside of music, Charlie, what helps you reset when you've been out on the road for a long time? Because I know, you know, you guys play a lot of dates every year.
I love to travel with my family and go. We have some places to go up in the mountains. We're more of mountain people than beach people, but we'll go up and camp. And I got my dogs, and I love my son and I. My sons, both of them, we love sports. We love football and basketball and baseball. And, just doing the stuff, the good stuff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you could give your younger self advice at the start of Blackberry Smoke, what would it be?
Always trust your gut. I've had a couple of instances where I thought, we're going to do this, but my gut's telling me this is not a good idea. And it's not, and it's worked out horribly every time I've gone against my gut.
Okay. Now, are we going to see some new music from Blackberry Smoke in 2026?
Maybe not 2026, but definitely 2027.
Okay.
Right now we're pretty busy doing this 25th anniversary, so next year we'll get back on the new stuff.
I had a listener ask me to ask you how Brother Richard was.
He's great. He's great. He was just out on these last four shows and played great and feels good and all is well.
Now I have to ask you. I knew George Jones for a lot of years, and you guys did a cover of Yesterday's Wine with Jamie Johnson, and George sang on that. How did that all come about? Because I mean, and that had to be quite an honor to sing with George Jones.
Oh my God! Not only that, but then I went and sang it with him at the Ryman, his last Ryman performance. It was crazy. We went in with Jamie, who's an old friend, and we've toured a lot together over the years, and. Selfishly, we went in and we were going to record Yesterday's Wine, just Blackberry Smoke and Jamie. And while we were putting the plan together, our manager, who knows George and Nancy, or knew George, said, "Hey, I'm going to ask George to come." And I thought, yeah, well, sure he will. Not, you know?
Yeah.
And lo and behold, at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, he walked through the door. And he said... We were listening to the playback. We had already recorded it. And Jamie and I had already sang it. And he listened and he said, "That's country music right there, young man." And I got chill bumps even saying it now. But we said, "Do you want to sing it?" And he said, "Absolutely." And the producer of the day was James Stroud. And he said, "I don't know how much George will want to sing. He's getting on up there." You know, he was 81, I think. And George said, "Let's go sing it together." And so Jamie and myself and George all went in and sang it again. And that's what you hear.
That is it's an unbelievable version. I love that version. Well, you know, Charlie, I got my tickets for this Sunday night show at the Coronado. I don't miss a show there. I think one of my favorite shows there was the night you guys played their Unplugged. Have you ever thought about maybe doing another Unplugged tour?
We're going to do that again. Yes, we had a blast and people loved it. It was really a nice departure from what we do, you know, a nice, intimate evening that was kind of quiet. And there were some people actually, believe it or not, that were like, "Bring on the rock. What are you guys doing?" And, anyway, can't please everybody all the time. That's for sure.
I hear you with that. And now I just got my tickets to come down to the Ryman in July to see you at the Mother Church. What does it mean for you to play at the Mother Church? And what was it like the first time you stepped on that stage?
Everything. That list you were asking me about earlier, that one sits right up at the top. The Ryman is just absolutely magical. The first time we played there was we opened for ZZ Top, and I think in 2006. And it's just as magical today as it was that very first day when you look up and see that stained glass and just the way that the seating looks from the stage. It's just magical. Just magical.
It is a special place. Well, Charlie, we look forward to seeing you this Sunday night at the Coronado. Tickets are available, and we hope to see you once again, and we appreciate your time today on Iron Country.
Thank you guys for always having me. We appreciate you so much.